Well, how many of you really enjoyed worship today? Did you enjoy? Do you realize we stepped into heaven? We often wonder what heaven's going to be like. We touched it. We were in it. We were there. When we get lost in worship like that and our focus is so Jesus, it's just, we're gone for this world and we have stepped into heaven. There's a scripture that says, it's probably John 17:3, I think, or something like that, where it talks about when we receive salvation, we have entered eternal life. So eternity started when we got saved, when it began. And then we spend the rest of our life thinking we're gonna go somewhere. I'm telling you that lately, I've just been stepping in and out of heaven all the time, and I'm just carrying heaven with me. That's what I'm pressing into. And so what I want to share today is kind of, this is for me. Now, if you get anything out of it, great. But this is for me. These are some of the things the Lord's been sharing with me. He's been showing me that my birthright is hunger. That is my birthright. And it's the answer to any situation I ever get in. Any question I have, the answer is always Jesus. His love. And heaven. And heaven is Jesus. If we want to know what heaven looks like, what does Jesus look like? Have you stopped to think about what Jesus looks like? He's filled with mercy and grace. He's just filled with all this good stuff. He's awesome. He is heaven. Heaven is Jesus. Yes, it's a place that we're going to meet other people that are there, but his love is just so great. We can experience heaven now. And our birthright is hunger. And it's a gift from God to us. It's the most incredible gift we could ever receive from God. But it's also the most incredible gift that we could give back to God. Isn't that amazing? It's a gift from God, and it's a gift to God. I've just been stuck in the Gospels because I'm looking at the rest of the Bible, and yes, it is all inspired by God. It is all amazing. I mean, I love it when Bill Johnson says, how much he loves the Bible. He says, I love the maps. I love the table of contents. I love everything. And I say, uh-huh, me too, me too, me too. His word is just absolutely incredible, but his word is a signpost that leads me to him. If I'm just reading the word and not connecting my heart to his, I'm just reading words on a page just like this. If I have not connected, if my hunger has not been satisfied in him, it goes nowhere. And I am just reading any old book. I've reduced the word of God to words on a page. And I don't ever want to do that. I want to connect with him. But I'm focused so much lately on the Gospels. And on the book of Acts, but especially the Gospels, because Jesus is my hero. The rest of the Bible is that good story. Sometimes it's commentary. Do you know that? Sometimes it's just commentary is when God speaks and says some certain things to us, and they're really, really good. But then there's also documentary. You know the difference between documentary and commentary? Documentary is when the history is. You know, I don't think God wants us to emulate those bad kings. You know, that's history. We can learn from them, but that's not who we are to fashion our lives after. And so I'm just stuck in the Gospels because, you know, Job had lots of problems, and he leaves us with lots of questions unanswered. But yet, Jesus is the answer to everything. So, you know, Jesus is the one that we want to really just focus on, or at least I do. And so I'm stuck in Luke 15. And you probably all know that chapter so well, because it's the one where the shepherd has lost just one sheep out of 90, out of 100. And it's also about the lost coin, where the widow is searching for that lost coin. She had 10 and she lost one. And then it was about the lost son. Now we all know the interpretation of that. They're obvious. Salvation, about God going after all of us. But there are many different applications. In that we can see, we can learn about the Good Shepherd. We can read it to learn about the Good Shepherd and how good God is. We can learn about the diligent widow, the lady who just, you know, wasn't satisfied with what she had, but she was diligent. She just really persevered. And we can also learn about the prodigal dad. You know, I mean, it's different ways that we can look at the scripture. But lately, I've just been hearing God say to me that He delights when we seek after that which we've lost, or that which we don't have yet. It's kind of like He's saying, I love it when you're hungry. I love it when, even though you're 99% filled up with God, there's still 1% left that you go after. You leave. You're 99% filled up. You just empty yourself at the cross. And you take that 1% and you persevere after God. And the widow, she had what she needed for life, probably. But she missed one coin and she scoured her house. I mean, she tore the place apart. Do we tear our places apart when we're realizing we're lacking something? I'm not as hungry. Why am I coming to church late? I'm not as hungry. Oh, well. But get hungry for God and you can't stay away. And why aren't I leading, why aren't I sharing about a good God that I love to a lost and dying world? Am I just kind of filled up with myself? Or am I just saying, okay, you know what, I am that filled up and I'm going to empty myself out. And I am going to just press in to God for that lost coin, for that area within me that is not hurting for the lost. I'm going to press into God until I have His heart, until I have His mind, until I have His compassion. And then I was looking at the prodigal son. And you know, that father never, ever, ever rebuked the son for going after his inheritance. He didn't like that he went after it in all the wrong places. He didn't like that the son didn't realize he had it all along. He had the father right there. And the father's our inheritance. That's what the prodigal son realized finally. You know what? My inheritance, my birthright, is all back with my dad, with my heavenly father. But until that place, you know, the son went out seeking for the inheritance. And God's not a punisher. God's not a, you know, I mean, the punishment has been fulfilled. It's done. The cost has been paid for by Jesus. So we don't have to fear punishment. But yet we also don't have to waste our time going after everything that wastes our time. You know? Sometimes I think, I'm asking the Lord, am I like the elder brother who, I'm living in Father's house, I'm living right there, but I'm lacking nothing, I'm just serving the Lord. Or am I crying out to God and saying, I want more? I want your blessing. I want your favor. I want your love. All the rest of the inheritance is great, but that's not what I'm seeking. I'm seeking Father's favor. I'm seeking his royal. I've got the royal robe. I've got the ring. I've got everything I need. Am I walking in that favor? And so the Lord was reminding me that, that favor is like the glory realm. It's like the heaven we entered into today during worship. I don't know what was going on out here. I'm hoping that you all entered in. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter to me whether you enter in. It really does matter to me because my heart's just wanting you all to just more God, more God, more God, because there's nothing like that. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir because you're all wanting that same thing. But I'm just saying, keep at it, church. Just keep pressing in, because the more you want of the Lord, the more he gives you, the more he gives you, the more you want, the more he gives. You know, it's just a continuous cycle. And it's like after that, as we just press into him, we're realizing that we're walking in the glory realm. This is what glory is. It's just a conscious awareness that God is so good and that he loves us so much, and he wants us to know who we are in him, and he wants us to just be filled with him and not filled with ourselves, but filled with him. And at the same time, bringing ourselves into play without the wrong motivation of we're stuck on ourselves, but yet bringing all of me and all my confidence that I received only from being in the presence of the Lord. I don't have confidence because of my successes. I don't have confidence because of my failures. I have confidence because I've been with him. And only he can give me that confidence. That's in Ephesians 3, 17 or something like that. With the spirit of might. The spirit of might comes in. He exchanges that for who we are. He just gives that to us as we spend time in his presence. But anyway, he wants us to seek after and diligently search for and just press into healing from woundedness. Isn't that our inheritance? If you've got something that you know is blocking his love from freely flowing in you, are you seeking him? Are you pressing in and just pouring out to God and saying, you know what, God, I am a mess. I just have this thing that keeps, it's like a wall, it's just something that keeps coming up, and I don't want it. I don't like it. Take it. And if you need to cry out, if you need to weep, if you need to scream, do it. But then, just rest in the fact that he's going to pour back into you as you've emptied yourself. He's going to pour back into you. And you know what? You may spend time in his presence, and it seems like not a thing happened. And your natural mind might say, this is a waste of time. Here I'm looking at a scripture or however it is that you get into his presence. If you're feeling like, nothing's happening, rebuke that thought, because that's not of God. Whenever God is near you, something happens. You may not see it. It may come forth later. You know, years ago, when I was first trying to hear from the Lord, it was years and years, probably 20, I don't know how many years ago. But I would come to the Lord with a question, and then I would get so frustrated because I didn't hear an answer right away. And I'd walk away, and I would just allow my flesh to think, must be like somebody else better than me. And I got, I found that that wasn't very redemptive. It didn't go anywhere. It made me go downward, It just messed me up. But then, the Word says he hears me when I pray. And he moves at the sound of my voice. And he likes me. And he loves me. and he likes to spend time with me. And then I got to think, you know what? This God is an ever-increasing God. He has not stopped increasing with good continuously. He just continues to pour out and pour out and pour out. There's no stopping this God. So why do I think that he stopped when he came to me? Doesn't make sense. So I have to take that wrong thinking and get rid of it. Just say, no, I'm not going to give in to that thing. That's not right. My God accomplishes whatever he wants. And if I don't hear him right now, it's okay, I will later. Because that's what I've discovered. He may not answer me immediately, but later on in the day, or maybe 3 weeks later, but he's faithful. He can't fail me. He cannot be. How can God be unfaithful? He is faithful and true. So he can't do any of that stuff. But when you think of your birthright, when you think of your inheritance, when you think of all that God died for you, if you're like me, I thought of Jacob and Esau, that deceiver Jacob. He went after the birthright when he wasn't entitled to it. We weren't entitled to it either, but Jesus gave it to us because he paid the price. And this morning as I was just putting dishes in the dishwasher, and I was thinking about it. It's in Genesis 25, verses 20 to 26. You know the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau was hungry. He wanted to feed his flesh. He wanted to do the things in the world. That was important to him. But to Jacob, there was something in him, even though he was the younger son and not entitled to this birthright, there was something in him that was pressing him forward. There was something in him that wanted this excellence that God had for him. And this is what, I hadn't seen this particular thing before, but do you remember when Jacob even left his identity? He covered up who he was. He just left it, but he covered himself up with this whatever to make himself look like the favored son. Yeah? Like Esau, the favored son. So if you're lacking confidence because, you know, you don't feel very favored, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Isn't that cool? That was, isn't that good? Yeah. I was like, oh God, I never thought of that. And he said, I know. I love it. But you know what? God never got mad at Jacob for deceiving, because he saw Jacob's heart, that Jacob wanted that birthright more than anything else. He wanted the favor that only his papa could give. He knew where to go, and he knew what would come with that inheritance. He knew, and he pressed in. And that's why later on in the word it says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because Esau didn't value his birthright. He didn't value the presence of God. He didn't value the freedom that God wanted to provide. He didn't value the healing from woundedness. He didn't value whatever it is that we just think we're lesser. Or we, do you realize Esau was also made for greatness? He was. He really was. But it was Jacob that had this, I've got to have more. And I see that with us. It's like, what is stopping me from the more? And I've been asking the Lord, what stops me from more? Because I get filled up. I drink it all in. I'm just such a glutton for his presence. but, you know, that's fine in the morning, but later on, I gotta have more. I just feel so, I just crave more of God. I really do. And the Lord's been showing me that when I come to Him with hunger for Him, the best thing I can do is empty myself and come to that place of repentance, free and sincere repentance. God, is there any wicked way in me? Is there anything that you see? Would you shine your searchlight? Because I think most of you know, I really don't gravitate toward doing anything bad. Even when I was a young kid, I was a good kid, I think, right? Mom, shake your head. Yes. I mean, I hung around with people who tried to pull me into, but that was okay, because God pulled them around. But it was like, I hate, I really don't like being bad. I really don't enjoy doing something that I know I'm not supposed to do, or I know that would grieve my Father's heart. And I've been asking Him, how can I have more? How can I have more? And He's been saying, you know, sometimes we can come to Him with not only our failures, but what about our successes? I did this. I accomplished that. Aren't I pretty cool? It's pride. Whoops. You know, coming to the Lord and just emptying, giving it over. You know what? I started looking back into my past this past week. I looked back into my past and I started writing some things down. And I just came to the Lord and realized that all my righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go back to the successes. I don't, it doesn't matter to me. My failures don't matter. But if my failures are keeping me from coming closer to the Lord because I'm afraid I'm going to get punished, or because I'm afraid He won't like me, or I'm afraid, I'll get cleaned up first, and then I'll go to the Lord. Well, we didn't receive salvation that way. Why is it that once we get saved, once we receive salvation, once we repent, we think that there's no more need to repent? We need to go to Him all the time and say, God, You're just so awesome. You're so perfect. Anything holding me back from You? I just want to release that quickly. And repent. It's done. It's done because of His blood. But how much are we pressing in for our birthright? I found something yesterday. It's by Bill Hybels. And he said, who is this God who loves us and wants to spend time with us? Is the God you know full of grace and mercy and compassion? Is the God you know mysterious, surprising, and captivating? Is He forever unchanging and yet always brand new? Does He inspire you with His big ideas about how your life can really count? Do you look into His eyes to see in His reflection who you really are and the greatness you were made for and the inheritance you are passing on to generations? And that's something I just want to remind us all of today. His goodness is passed on to 1,000 generations. And it's because of your pressing in. It's because of your hunger for God. Your grandchildren's grandchildren are going to have a walk with God that is so powerful and so amazing. We were not created just for today. We were not created just to live this life and then walk out of it. We were created to pass on our greatness, who we are in Christ. Do you know that when you do come early, when you get here just so hungry for God, and you're a good example. And you know all the other things. That's one example. But you know when you bring food. I know all you ladies, when you do bring food to any of our gatherings, you bring an abundance, and that's so awesome because you're making enough for everybody who might just stop by. And that's cool. But those little acts that you do of excellence and greatness, they're being passed on to your grandchildren's grandchildren. All those things that you're doing for Christ, He makes sure that they're not forgotten. And so that when you do follow through and you know, when you've cleaned the church, and we're just so blessed by all of you who clean the church and you do such a great job, we may not make a big thing about it. We should, but we don't always remember to, or there's a lot of other agenda going on. But it is so appreciated by us. But let me tell you something. It's really appreciated by God. And the inheritance, the pressing in for more of God and for more hunger for God is being passed on to your future generations. It is counting. You're not wasting time. If you go before the Lord and you don't get a lot out of the Word this particular time, but you were faithful, you pressed in, you tried connecting, you're doing everything you can to worship the Lord. I connect. You know what? There are a lot of times when I'm before the Lord and I've connected with Him, but then I find my mind has just wandered. How did I get over here? Why did I think about that person or that person or this situation? Don't beat yourself up. Just come back. Connect with the Lord, because your divine connection will last for eternity. It really, really will. What you're doing now really counts. And when we really focus on how wonderful the Lord is and how awesome, how mysterious He is and how He has secrets, He doesn't hide His secrets from us. He hides them for us so we can search them out. It's the delight of kings to search them out. And that's what He wants for us. He wants us to walk in the glory realm. He wants us to live in an open heaven. He wants us to enjoy heaven on earth now. And as we do, as we're pressing in for the more and the more and the more of God, it's not only for us now, which is pretty awesome, but it is for our inheritance. It's for eternity. When people pray for you and nothing seems to happen, do you just walk away and say, nothing happened? We're going to have some prayer time in a few moments. And I'm not even sure who my husband feels to pray for at this point. But if you don't feel anything happen, do you remember that when you got saved, it wasn't by feelings? Some of you might have had great feelings. I didn't. I just said, Jesus, make me a good girl when I was about six. But He took me seriously. And so it's by faith. We receive a prophet. We receive a prophetic word. We receive a prayer. Because we know, we have to stop and say to ourselves, you know what? God hears, God loves that person, and He hears their prayer. So thank you, God! Because it's going to happen. It really is going to happen. What's been prayed for? I just heard this as well. Revival is easy when heavens are focused. That's in a new CD that I got recently. Revival is easy when heaven's our focus. We can live in revival. Isn't that what we all want? Get your focus on heaven. Living for God, living for Jesus now, pressing in, just loving on Him. And I just want to leave you with this. I may not have gone to a lot of scriptures today, but it was all based on the Word. Oh, here, I'll give you this scripture, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that now it's a legal sermon. But I want to leave you with this thought. Does my inheritance in God mean as much to me as it does to God? Just think about it. Does my inheritance from God and in God mean as much to me as it does to God? It means a lot to God. He gave His life for that inheritance. So take that question to the Lord. Just ask Him about it. And press in, press in, press in. Nothing's counted as loss with God. It's all good stuff.